All right. Thank you for joining the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for today's Missouri River Basin Conference call. This call is provided as a courtesy to congressional representatives, tribal, state, and local government officials, levee sponsors, emergency managers, and the media. I am Eileen Williamson, and I will be your moderator. This call is recorded and placed on the Defense Video and Imagery Distribution Service for media reuse at www.dvidshub.net/unit/USACE-NWD. Your participation acknowledges your consent to be recorded. All lines should be on mute. If the forced mute function does not work, please use your phone's own mute function and do not place the call on hold. The question and answer session will take place at the end of the call. Our agenda today includes from the National Weather Service Missouri Basin River Forecast Center, Chris Schultz, and from the NOAA Center for Environmental Information, we have Doug Kluck. From the Missouri River Water Management Office, we have John Ramos and his staff. And like I said, we'll have the question and answer session at the end of the call. With that, I will hand the call over to Doug Kluck.
Thank you, Eileen and the Corps for inviting us to speak from NOAA. With the next slide, please. Slide number two. There's the temperature and precipitation over the last 90 days, sort of averaged out there. As you can see on the left, you have the departure from normal temperatures, basically from May through early August. And overall, what you see are more orange and yellow and whatever you call it, tan colors, which means above normal temperatures, not extreme like you can see way to the west over in the Four Corners area. Not that extreme, but there are definitely places that most of the basin, I would say, was above normal through the summer months so far. And there are a couple places that have been cooler up across North Dakota down into northern Nebraska. So let's, on the right-hand side is the percent of normal precipitation probably is slightly more important. You can see a couple things here. One, those reds to orange colors are a deficit or a lower percent than normal. In some cases, we're talking 50 and even 25% of normal during a relatively wet time of year, May, June, into July and early August, yes. But that's a showing, and I'm going to get, when I get to the drought section of this, you'll see that there's definitely increasing amounts of severity of drought in those regions. A little further east, though, you see down in Nebraska and straight north all the way up the Canada border, quite a bit more than normal precipitation over this 90 days. And I'll just say that the lower basin, also portions of Missouri, northeast Kansas, have seen above normal precipitation over that 90-day period. Let's look at the next 30 days, which is the next slide, or last 30 days, I should say. Temperature again on the left, precipitation on the right. Temperature, I would say, is relatively nondescript. Yes, above normal temperatures, mostly in the upper basin, Montana, western Dakotas, that area. Slightly below to near normal across most of the most of the rest of the basin during that period, last 30 days. And then, when you look at precipitation, we basically shut off in terms of heavy rainfalls. Yes, you have a few little marks or points there of green and blue where it rained heavily. But for the most part, we're looking at major deficits or pretty good deficits over the last 30 days in terms of rainfall percents of normal over most of the basin. Next slide, and let me advance here. Okay, the next slide more or less shows what a couple different depictions of soil moisture are trying to show. Soil moisture, again, especially in the root zone, is sort of the memory of the system, memory in terms of base flow for a lot of the rivers and streams in our area. And obviously that feeds the Missouri River and everything else. So What we're seeing there are some brown areas, yellow and brown areas, sort of concentrated, let's say at the panhandle of Nebraska and sort of straight north. Some pretty big deficits there in terms of deeper moisture. Also, you can spread that across Kansas and Nebraska, according to the model on the left, the GRACE model, as we say. On the right, you see a similar pattern, not exactly the same, but generally showing that these two things, these two different models agree with each other to some degree in terms of lack of soil moisture in sort of the western parts of the basin down into Kansas. Next slide. Should be the total precipitation outlook through next week. So if you add up the next 7 days of rain, according to the models, the numerical models, this is what you see in terms of precipitation across across the nation, actually. This is, I would say this is not terrible news. This is not showing a big white area of no precipitation. We do see the indication of a relatively wet pattern across Colorado into Kansas and Missouri, and some precipitation further north, but not that much in the upper basin above Sioux City. Some, but not a lot, okay? So we've been dry. I live in Kansas City, but we've been relatively dry down here recently. So this will help some of the flows in the lower basin, I suppose, and places to our west. Sort of status quo and everything else up there to the north. It's not that it's not meaningful precipitation, but it's not heavy by any means. On the other hand, it's not 100% dry either over the next 7 days. So there's hope, a little hope. Next slide. This is looking forward for the second week from August 15th through the 21st. And we see there's a pretty strong leaning towards above normal temperatures on the left. Those are relatively high probabilities of above normal temperatures, which, you know, we're back in the 90s, basically. We're talking mid-August in this case. And that goes all the way up to the Canada border as well. So most of the basin is leaning toward, well, the entire basin is leaning towards above normal temperature. Precipitation-wise, again, there's hope, but it's not a strong hope in terms of precipitation over that second week. You see that above over there in Colorado and sort of to the north and east of that, a very slight leaning towards wetter than normal conditions during that week. We hope that pans out. And then lower basin and such, near normal in terms of precipitation for that region. Next slide should be the August, September, October outlook for temperature on the left, precipitation on the right, and the temperature outlook is to sort of continue this trend of above normal, maybe not as strong, above normal temperatures, maybe not as strong as that last week two was, but definitely above normal in the west, especially in the western part of the basin and southwestern, if you will. Wyoming, Colorado, and such. Those are the highest probabilities. And on the precipitation side, it's not great. But it's only a slight leaning towards below normal for that three-month period. We hope that doesn't happen. Obviously, we need our rain, especially in those drought-impacted areas. Let's go to the next slide, please. Yeah, here's the drought stuff, if you will. Image on the left is the current drought depiction from the drought monitor. Okay. And you can see wherever it's yellow is abnormal. It's not fully into drought at that point, yellow areas. But when you get into those tan and sort of, I don't know, dark tan areas, then we're starting to talk about more serious consequences. So you can see almost, well, except for the eastern part of the basin, really in lower basin for the most part, there's quite a bit of drought either coming or in place in those areas. And there's good reason for that based upon what I just showed you in terms of the outlooks and what has happened in the last 30 to 90 days. Upper right corner is the change, 13-week change. So since May 7th, how has drought gotten better or worse? Well, where you see yellow, orange, and dark orange, whatever, that's all gotten worse. That's all changed to the worst. Where you see green, drought has gotten better. So lower basin mostly, well, there's portions of the lower basin that got better and a few places up to the north that got a little bit better too. But for the most part, it's a deterioration of drought conditions across the basin over the last 13 weeks or since May 7th. And then down below in the lower right-hand corner is the seasonal outlook. So basically what this is saying is by October 31st, this is what the forecasters see as areas that will be under drought by that time. So all that yellow area would be new drought area. The brown areas were already in drought. And it's just being surrounded by more drought if the forecast pans out the way they think it may. Okay, next slide are just the key points, basically summarizing what I just said. The only thing I didn't talk about was the El Nino La Nina condition. And we're currently in a neutral, kind of in between. We were in El Nino earlier this year, and we've transitioned to neutral, and now we're maybe transitioning to La Nina, but the timing on that has sort of been pushed. In other words, we thought we might be in the beginning stages of La Nina now, but that hasn't happened. So the forecast, therefore, has pushed the La Nina chances a little lower and further into the fall. So we'll see if that happens. And we can talk more about La Nina if you go to our webinar tomorrow. Is it tomorrow? No, next week. Next week, which is mentioned at the bottom of this, we'll talk more about that. Increasing drought in the western part of the basin and the 30-day temperatures more or less above normal, as I just said. The outlook over the next 7 days, sort of moderate temperatures and decent rain chances, mostly in the south and central Missouri Basin. The week two temperature is still trending above normal, just like the long term, both trending towards above normal. Precipitation chances slightly increased in the western basin week two, but for most of the basin, the long outlook is for below normal temperatures, but that is only a slight probability. It's not like a for sure thing by any means. It's only it's a tendency to be drier. So, and that's where I'll sort of leave off. And thank you.
All right. Thanks, Doug. And over to Chris.
Thanks, Eileen. Good afternoon. On behalf of the National Weather Service, I wish to thank the Corps of Engineers for the invite to participate on this call. Since the last call on July 11th, there's been little, if any, flooding across Missouri River Basin. Most of the floodwaters stemming from the historic late June event that was centered south of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, had receded to within banks by the time of the last call. And so after that, the only river flooding since the 11th of July was along the James River in the Columbia Reach, and it barely crossed over minor flood stage in mid-July. And that minor flooding was along the James was due to June and early July rains. So each month towards the end of the month, the National Weather Service issues a 3-month river flood outlook. Our last outlook was issued on July 23rd, covering the 3-month period of August, September, and October. The results of this outlook are graphically depicted on my slide here. Each of the 400 plus river locations that our office forecast is represented on this graphic using colored dots. So the chances of flooding are indicated by the color of the dot. Most locations, as you can see, are green, and green means there's less than a 50% chance to see flooding over the next 3 months. Only a few locations, a couple in extreme eastern Kansas and a few more spread across west central Missouri, are colored orange or red. And orange would indicate a better than 50% chance to see minor flooding over the next 90 days, while red dots indicate a better than 50% chance to see moderate level flooding over the next 90 days. So as you can see, most of the Missouri River Basin should be flood-free through October, with only just a handful of locations in the lower basin likely to experience minor to moderate flooding. So this concludes my National Weather Service flood brief, and thanks a lot.
All right, thank you, Chris. And we'll turn it over to John Remus in Missouri Basin Water Management Division.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. Also, thanks to Doug and Chris for providing their insights as to what the future might hold. As Eileen said, I am John Remus, Chief of the Missouri River Basin Water Management Division. Our office is responsible for regulating the Missouri River Mainstem Reservoir System. This is the 8th of our 2024 monthly stakeholder calls. I will provide some general remarks, and then I will return the discussion over to my senior staff for more detailed information. As always, I want to assure everyone in the basin that the Corps of Engineers remains fully committed to our flood risk reduction mission, protecting people and property when we can from significant runoff events that pose a threat to human health and safety. Life safety is the Corps of Engineers' priority. It is important to understand that the volume, timing, and location at which runoff enters the system significantly impacts the timing and amount of water released from the reservoirs. The Corps of Engineers understands the importance of the Missouri River in providing water for irrigation, municipal, and industrial uses throughout the basin. We operate the system to meet the water supply requirements of the basin to the extent reasonably possible. There is presently and will be adequate water in the reservoirs and in the reservoir and in the river reaches between the reservoirs, as well as below the system, to serve all water supply needs. I want to remind everyone that the Corps of Engineers does not provide or guarantee access to the water. Maintaining access to the water for whatever purpose is the individual facility owner operator's responsibility. Further, we will continue to meet our statutory obligations to operate the Missouri River Mainstem Reservoir System for all its authorized purposes, as described in the Master Water Control Manual. We will also continue to comply with all laws and provisions of the 2018 Biological Opinion. In 2024, the hydrologic conditions were sufficient to allow for a test flow at Fort Peck Dam. This test is the first in a series of tests that are required to comply with the 2018 Biological Opinion. The 2024 tests begin in late April, consisted of two peak flows, with the last peak flow ending in early July. Based on extensive monitoring of the Powell sturgeon in the reach below Fort Peck Dam, as of July 24th, there was no evidence of spawning. After discussion with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, based on the lack of spawning evidence, the decision was made to terminate the flow test and normal Fort Peck operations were resumed. Resumption of normal operations at Fort Peck increased the average daily releases from 8,000 cubic feet per second to 9,000 cubic feet per second. This release rate will be held until mid-September, at which time the releases from Fort Peck Dam will be decreased to winter levels. It should be noted that after the decision to terminate the test flows was made, continuing monitoring indicated that spawn had occurred, but there was no need to return to the 8,000 CFS flows. In the past, in order to accommodate irrigators below Fort Peck Dam, we have been able to extend higher releases from Fort Peck to the end of September to make up for that extra water with lower winter releases. However, planned winter releases are already at the minimum. Therefore, irrigators should be assessing their situation and making appropriate plans. Also, due to the projected lower system storage levels, winter releases from Gavin's Point Dam, which are based on the September 1st storage, are likely to be at the minimum level of 12,000 cubic feet per second. Water users in the lower river should be assessing the impacts of their operations and developing contingency plans if needed. Projected reservoir releases and pool levels that will be presented are based on the best available information. Actual conditions may be different. This concludes my opening remarks. Thank you very much. I will now turn the discussion over to Ryan Larson.
Thanks, John. I'm on slide 14, Eileen. The 2024 calendar year runoff forecast for the Upper Missouri River Basin above Sioux City, Iowa, which is highlighted in red, is 23.9 million acre feet, or 93% of average. The current month's forecast is 0.7 million acre feet lower than than the July 1st forecast. Moving to slide 15. The 2024 calendar year forecast reflects dry soil moisture conditions in western portions of the basin, above average tributary stream flow in eastern portions of the basin, and the Climate Prediction Centers, or CPC, outlooks. Observed July runoff above Sioux City, Iowa was approximately 85% of average. Reaches from Oahe Dam to Sioux City were all above average, with runoff in the Gavins to Sioux City reach ending the month at 429% of average. The upper three reaches above Oahe Dam were all below average, with runoff in the above, with the above Fort Peck reach coming in at 38% of average for the month. Moving to slide 16. Mountain snowpack peaked well below normal and approximately a week earlier than normal at 73% of average and 82% of average in the above Fort Peck and Fort Peck to Garrison reaches, respectively. Despite multiple late season snowstorms in the Rockies, mountain snowpack in both reaches quickly melted, completely melting by the third week of June, or approximately 3 weeks earlier than normal. In summary, the 2024 calendar year runoff forecast is 23.9 million acre feet, or 93% of average. I will now turn it over to Mike to talk about system regulation.
Okay, thanks, Ryan. Gavin's Point releases averaged 20,200 CFS in July. Releases are currently at 28,500 CFS. Releases are forecast to gradually increase over the next several days as needed to meet the downstream navigation targets. On slide 18, you can see that the system storage is currently at 56.2 million acre feet, 0.1 million acre feet above the base of the annual flood control zone. System storage peaked on July 11th at 57 million acre feet, 0.9 million acre feet above the base of the annual flood control zone. In terms of the monthly simulations or studies, the basic simulation uses the runoff forecast that Ryan just discussed. Due to the amount of variability that it can occur over the next several months, we also develop an upper and lower runoff that are then used in the upper and lower basic simulations. These simulations provide a range of reservoir elevations and releases that may be expected under different runoff scenarios. The discussion to follow will focus on the basic or most likely simulation. Information on the other studies is posted on our webpage. Moving on to slide 19, Fort Peck and Oahe are currently 5.4 and 2.2 feet below the base of their respective flood control pools. Garrison is 4.1 feet above the base of its flood control pool. Fort Peck Reservoir has been declining since early June. As John mentioned, normal operations resumed at the dam this month following the Fort Peck flow test. Releases were increased from 8,000 CFS to 9,000 CFS on July 25th. Releases will remain at 9,000 CFS through mid-September. Garrison Reservoir peaked in July at elevation 1843. The reservoir is gradually declining and is at elevation 1841.7. Releases at Garrison will remain at 22,000 CFS through mid-September. Oahe Reservoir is currently at elevation 1605.3. Releases are expected to average about 27,000 CFS in August. Now on slide 20, which details the master manual system storage checks. The service level is used to determine releases from Gavin's Point to support navigation and in combination with the bank stabilization and navigation project to help provide the downstream navigation channel. The July 1st system storage check resulted in no change to the navigation flow support level. Releases are currently being set to provide flow support at a level 500 CFS below full service. For this service level on the basic simulation, Gavin's Point monthly average releases range from about 29,000 to 32,000. Future releases will depend on downstream conditions and may be adjusted in response to downstream flooding. The effectiveness of the reservoir system to reduce peak stages along the lower river diminishes as you move downstream due to the travel time. The navigation flow support season length is also based on the July 1st system storage. That check indicated there would be a full-length flow support season ending December 1st at the mouth of the Missouri River. And as John also noted earlier, the monthly studies indicate that the winter release from Gavin's Point, which is based on the September 1 system storage check, will likely be near the minimum rate of 12,000 CFS. And moving on to slide 21, energy generation at the main stem dams under the basic stimulation is 8 billion kilowatt hours. The long-term average is 9.4 billion kilowatt hours. And my last slide is 22 here, which shows the Missouri River Basin weekly update, which is found on our website at the address shown at the top of the slide. This webpage gives a general overview of the current conditions in the Missouri River Basin and is updated weekly, usually on Tuesday morning. That concludes my comments. I'll turn it back to you, Eileen.
All right, thank you, Mike. And I'm going to hand it over to Mike Doolin in Kansas City to provide an update of their post-flood response. Mike.
Hey. Hi, thanks, Eileen. Good afternoon, everybody. Mike Doolin, Emergency Management with the Kansas City District. I just wanted to give a quick update on levee rehabilitation. So just when we had finished up all the levee rehabs from the 2019 flood, looks like we're going to have a handful more to do, so that'll keep us sharp. But so far we've received 7 requests for assistance for levee rehabilitation, all from non-federal levee systems so far, primarily upstream of Kansas City and then a few in central Missouri. And then I do expect to get at least 2 more requests for assistance for a total of 9 before the 30-day period to submit those ends on August 11th. So for any levee partners on the line, if you're thinking about submitting a request for levee rehabilitation assistance, as long as that letter is postmarked by August 11th, you'll clear that deadline. So, and I believe that's this Sunday. Once we have all those RFAs in, we're going to submit funding requests to kick off the project information report process next week. We do have a project manager assigned to these levee rehabs, so we're putting a team together for that now. And then I suspect the PIR process will go relatively quick, just based on the kind of damages that we're seeing. The repair methods won't be really complex, so I don't expect the PIRs to be a very heavy lift. We're seeing a lot of things like sod kill, under seepage, some minor erosion and things like that. So nothing as complex as we were dealing with in 2019, which is a good thing. So hoping everything goes smoothly there. And that would conclude my update on levee rehab for now.
All right, thank you, Mike. We will move to the question and answer portion of the call. As a reminder, your participation acknowledges your consent to be recorded. I will ask that you state your name and the organization that you represent before asking your question. And you'll need to press star 6 to come off mute. I'll go in alphabetical order by state. I'll start with the state of Iowa. Okay. Kansas. Missouri. Montana. Nebraska. North Dakota. South Dakota, and Wyoming. Okay, no questions heard unless there's anyone else out there who was unable to get to the unmute button fast enough, or otherwise you can raise your hand or type your question in the chat. Okay, nothing heard. As a reminder, the next call is September 5th. At 1 o'clock, and I will hand it over to John for closing comments.
Thank you, Eileen. As I stated in my opening remarks, life safety is the Corps of Engineers' priority. Being on or near the water can be dangerous, so please use caution and use the proper safety equipment. The danger is significantly increased during periods of high water. Also, keep in mind that the meteorologic and hydrologic conditions in the basin can change and sometimes change quite rapidly. I encourage everyone to keep a close eye on the weather, access the information on the NOAA and National Weather Service websites for the most up-to-date weather information and forecast, and check out our website for information on reservoir releases and pool levels. As Eileen mentioned, our next call is September 5th at 1 o'clock Central Time. Our fall public meetings are scheduled for the week of October 28th. We are in the process of finalizing the logistics and we'll be providing details as soon as we can. With that, I will offer one last chance for questions before ending the meeting. Going once, going twice. With that, I will end the call. Thank you very much.
That concludes today's call.